Good evening. Welcome to Metropolitan Baptist Church. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I'd like to preach a sermon this evening titled Responding with Maturity in Difficult Situations. Responding with Maturity in Difficult Situations. Let me just say before I read verses 6 and 7, when we fail to respond with maturity in difficult situations, we are failing to acknowledge the God of providence, that God is in control, and God does allow circumstances, difficulties into our lives for a reason and to bring us towards greater Christ-likeness. 1 Samuel chapter 18, I'd like for us to read verses 16 and 17, and then we will pray. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we do ask and pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us into truth this evening. Lord, instruct us, equip us, that we might respond with spiritual maturity, even in the midst of difficulties and testings. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. A commentator by the name of Adam Clark had this to say concerning the life of David and his popularity. He said, David had served as a shepherd in the fields and had the loving, protective heart of a shepherd, a fitting attribute of a king. He had learned responsibility and courage by confronting and slaying wild beasts that threatened his flock. He had learned to play the harp, a skill that would make him sensitive to the aesthetic side of life, and that would help him compose the stirring psalms which extol the Lord and celebrate his mighty exploits. David had been brought into the palace of the king as musician and warrior, so that he might acquire the anointing. He was eminently equipped to be king of Israel at his coronation some 15 years later. But his education was not always pleasant. With his rising popularity among the people came a deterioration of his relationship with Saul. For the king became insanely jealous of Israel's new hero. Now after David's dramatic victory over Goliath, Saul brought him into his palace once again, this time as a commander of his army. David's favored position in the court was further strengthened by the personal affection felt for him by Jonathan, Saul's oldest son. So close did this friendship become that Jonathan, though heir apparent to the throne of Israel, stripped himself of his own robe, royal garment, and placed it on David in recognition of David's divine election to be king. More than once, the covenant of friendship between the two men would work for David's advantage. Meanwhile, David became so effective militarily that his exploits were celebrated in song. Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And this fueled an uncontrollable fire in the heart of Saul that put an end once and for all his ability to lead Israel any further. And brethren, this evening, when we fail to respond with maturity in difficult situations, this will either cap or halt our spiritual growth. A dividing took place between Saul and David. The interesting thing to bear in mind is that neither one was at fault. Neither one propagated the response of the women. But even though that is the case, when you draw a contrast between David and Saul, their responses were at opposite ends. David demonstrated maturity. Saul, immaturity. See, it's not what happens to you that matters. It is what happens in you. That's what really matters. One's response is either carnal, or our response is spiritual. And if we are to be useful to our God and enjoy God's fullness upon our lives, we need to respond with maturity in difficult situations. That difficult situation might be a setback in your life. It might be an illness. It might be a struggle of some sort. It might be a financial struggle. It might be a relationship struggle. It might be a personal hurt. It just might be something that's beyond you, that you have no control over, and you just don't know what to do. My charge this evening is that we would respond with spiritual maturity. Responding with maturity in difficult situations. And brethren, this evening I'd like to charge you to respond with spiritual maturity in your difficulties. Saul did not, but David did. Let's learn from these men this evening concerning how we should and how we should not respond when difficult times cross our path. Let's note first and foremost King Saul. Let's note Saul's reactions towards David as he hears the praises of the women. In verse 2, in verse 5, and also in verse number 13, we find that David has been enlisted into Saul's army. And according to verse number 13, David has given charge over 1,000 soldiers. Now, back in verses 6 and 7, it follows verse 5, and it reads in verse 5 that David has returned from a battle against the Philistines. And upon his return, the Bible teaches us that a custom takes place that was very evident amongst God's people. And that is, on the return of friends that have been long absent, or particularly on the return of a victorious army, bands of women and children would assemble from the town or village and form a triumphant procession to celebrate the victory. So this was not uncommon, what took place in verses 6 and 7. To gratify the soldiers with dancing and song was a way of displaying honor to those men of bravery. And the Hebrew women, therefore, were merely paying customary congratulations, so to speak, to David as he delivered their country. But they committed a great indiscretion by praising a subject at the expense of their own sovereign king. See, in Psalm 25, verse 6 and 7, the Bible reads, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one, he setteth up another." David was an able and willing servant to King Saul. God blessed him, and the people recognized that fact. And as the women shouted the praises of David over King Saul, Saul had some reactions. And I'd like for us to note specifically how he chose to react in this very difficult situation, being the present king. And David was just an up. Note there, in verse number 8, the Bible teaches us, "And Saul was very wroth." That was his first response to this difficult situation. Now bear in mind, neither Saul nor David created this situation. These dear women in innocency paid tribute to these men of war. They didn't totally neglect Saul, but they did say, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David is tens of thousands." And King Saul, first and foremost, the Bible teaches us, he responded in great wrath. The Bible is very specific. It reads, "And Saul was very wroth." The word wrath, that means to glow or to blaze up. He was noticeably angry. Noticeably angry. He was on fire, so to speak. Just like flames increased within a fire as it's been fueled, this man became more and more evidently angry. And this is not how we are to respond when we find ourselves in difficult situations. See, anger is pride manifested. That's what it is. It's pride. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry and sin not." And my understanding of that passage of Scripture, it simply means in being angry, stop. In other words, it's a work of the flesh. Because we have a sinful flesh, we are prone to anger. We cannot escape that. Men more so than women. Nevertheless, human nature is human nature. Be angry and sin not. My understanding, that's what that passage means. That you and I will have the emotion of anger, but we need to keep that emotion of anger under control lest we sin against the Lord. Unfortunately, Saul did not control his anger. The Bible teaches us that he was very wrong. Now, the opposite of anger is humility. It's humility. See, anger is a manifestation of pride. We get angry because in some way our pride has been affected. Now, we don't like to admit that. That's the plain truth and nothing but the truth. The opposite of anger is humility. The Lord Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So instead of Saul responding to this difficult situation in humility, and he could have chosen to, the Bible teaches us he was very wroth. And note that anger doesn't stop there. In verse number 8, it goes on to read, "And the same displeased him." Anger is never an end in itself. The word displeased here in verse number 8 means to be grieved. It literally means to feel ill, to feel sad, loss of joy. So, in Saul's anger, he lost his joy. He lost his happiness. He was sad. And brethren, may I submit to you this evening, if we don't choose to respond with maturity to our difficult situations, we will lose our joy. Yes, we will. Your anger will lead to misery. That's what the word displeased means. It means to be sick, to be sad, to feel ill, to be grieved. So the opposite of this displeasure, this sadness, is to choose to rejoice always. In Philippians chapter 4, please, let's quickly turn there. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. I know you know it, but it's good for us to see it. Amen? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. So God tells us we need to choose to rejoice. Instead of Saul choosing to rejoice and thanking God that he is raising up a mighty soldier for his glory, he chose to entertain displeasure in his heart. He could have chosen to rejoice in the fact that one mightier is coming up through the ranks, and this will lead to God receiving greater glory. He could have had that attitude. He could have rejoiced in this upcomer. But no, he was displeased. He was angry, and that led to a sadness of countenance. He was displeased. And then in verse number 8, it goes on to read, at the end of verse number 8, Saul went on to say, and what can he have more but the kingdom? And note there in verse number 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. So we find his anger leads to displeasure, sadness, and that led to a feeling of insecurity. He felt threatened, he felt insecure around David. And he said with strong emotion, he will want to take the kingdom from me next. That's what he said. So his lack of spiritual depth became evident with these thoughts of jealousy concerning David. And note then verse number 9 that it reads, and Saul eyed David. The word eyed there means that he watched him very closely. He gazed upon him. Didn't just look, he was transfixed upon him. And see, this is what jealousy does to people. It causes people to gaze upon things, upon people. And as he did so, he felt very insecure. He felt threatened. He said, now this fella, what's he going to do next? He's going to take the kingdom from me. But Saul should have known better, because Samuel had told him a time ago that he'd been disqualified. And Samuel had told King Saul that God will have another man reign over his people. Saul already knew that. He knew that. And I don't believe he had a short memory. I believe he still knew that. He remembered that. But because of his insecurity, he became very jealous of David and made emotive statements like, now he's going to take the kingdom from me. And that was a wrong thing to say. He said, well, maybe this is the man that Samuel was referring to that will be the next king. That's what he should have said. See? So Saul is out of control. He can't control his emotions. So he makes emotions that reveal his own personal insecurity, his own personal jealousies. Instead, he should have responded with some contentment. He should have been thankful that God has somebody else coming up in the ranks. And even though I've been disqualified, God will have his king to rule over his people. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 8, the Bible teaches us, in having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. So he was jealous of David. He said, now this guy's going to take over the kingdom from me. He felt so insecure. He noted that people were praising David. David has slain his 10,000, but boy, they're saying I've only slain my thousands. Felt very insecure. Was jealous of him. And he began to eye him, and that's what jealous people do. They gaze upon people. They gaze upon things. That's a mark of jealousy. They spend too much time gazing upon individuals, and that breeds the wrong spirit. And that's what took place in the heart of Saul. Now, it doesn't stop there. We move on in verse number 10. And brethren, I'd like for you to note there is a downward spiral here in the heart of Saul. Now, bear with me. Look at verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Here we go again. And he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand, as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. So note here in verse number 10 that the evil spirit comes upon Saul once again. Now it's interesting that there in verse number 10 we are told that he prophesied. Now what does that mean? I don't think that Saul was in a spiritual mindset. I'm not sure what is meant by that. One commentator said possibly Saul was pretending to pray, or better still, to conceal his murderous intentions by making out that he was praying. So while David was playing his harp, Saul was under the dominion of this evil spirit. Saul was no longer under the dominion of God. Just like back in chapter 16, the Bible teaches us that the evil spirit came upon Saul. And the Bible teaches us at the end of chapter 16 that Saul played his harp and Saul was made well. But here in chapter 18, we don't find that he was made well. Now what was the difference? I believe it was choice. There was a choice that took place here. And I believe that Saul got to a point where he refused to respond to the spiritual input in his life. He refused to respond to that godly music that was played before him. And the evil spirit came upon him. And brethren, this evening, if we choose to respond in a way that's not biblical, then we will surrender the control of our lives. When a person surrenders the control of their life, they either surrender the control of their life to the flesh or to demonic activity. It's either one or the other. Look at Galatians chapter 5, please. Verses 19 to 21, note the works of the flesh. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, endings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So God defines for us the works of the flesh, when the flesh is in control. But here in 1 Samuel chapter 18, the Bible teaches us that an evil spirit came upon Saul. In God's providence, God allowed this evil spirit to have its dominion over King Saul because of King Saul's choices. Now, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. And note verse 27. I'd like to show you something. I think if we're not careful, we as God's people can be guilty of placing the devil in a box concerning how he works and when he works. And we have this artificial understanding of the situations in which the devil becomes active. For example, in the midst of heavy metal rock music, and in the midst of certain lifestyles and certain locations, oh yes, you'll find the devil at work in these places. But may I submit to you that verse 27, here in Ephesians chapter 4, follows verse 26. Note there back in verse 26, 1 through, and be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, look at verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. Now listen to me. When Saul chose to respond with a lack of maturity, what was the first area of concern in his life? He was very wroth, angry. What did it lead to? The evil spirit came upon him. Pastor, what are you saying? Well, I'm saying what the Bible is saying. When you and I allow anger in our heart, we are opening up the door of our life and inviting demonic activity upon our lives. Now, you don't want to hear that, do you? No, I don't want to hear that either. But that's what the Bible teaches. Talk to me. Verse 26 comes before verse 27, and yes, they are connected. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place or influence to who? The devil. I'm a pastor. I don't listen to rock music. Well, I'm glad you don't. Oh, pastor, I don't go to unseemly places. I'm glad you don't go to unseemly places. But let me ask you, do you allow anger to reign unchecked in your life? Do I allow anger to reign unchecked in my life? If we do, the Bible teaches us we are giving place to the devil. The devil is not an adversary that has these ugly horns and this stupid laugh and is dressed up in a red suit. He comes as an angel of light. And when you and I choose to have the wrong emotional response to life's difficulties, then we can invite the work of the devil and he will mess us up. And that's why there's so many people out there messed up. Because they have not chosen to respond correctly to life's difficulties. They've become angry amongst other wrong responses, and they've given place to the devil. And this demonic activity in the life of Saul flared up at that point of anger. Brethren, this evening, do not underestimate the evil of anger and where it can lead. Saul's anger led to displeasure. Saul's displeasure led to jealousy, insecurity, feeling threatened. And that emotion led to the evil spirit coming upon him. And not even David's playing could help. And then the Bible teaches us at the end of verse number 10 that King Saul had a javelin in his hand. The javelin or spear was an emblem of regal authority, and a king always had one at hand. And in ancient monuments, they always were represented with a javelin or a spear in hand. And the Bible teaches us that the evil spirit came upon him, and in verse 11, and Saul cast the javelin, and he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. He tried to hurt him. He tried to get rid of the very one that restored honor for his nation. And brethren, we can be guilty in this way. Instead of responding with spiritual maturity in our difficult situations, we can be awfully unkind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, the Bible teaches us what biblical love looks like. And Saul was so out of control that he was prepared to kill. He determined to kill David. That's the measure of the hatred that prevailed in Saul's heart. May I remind you this evening that John chapter 10, verse number 10, the Bible teaches us that the devil comes to do what? To kill and to destroy. So he was under the dominion of this evil spirit, and this evil spirit drove him to a desire, a passionate desire to kill David. See? And that affirms that this is demonic activity. Where does it begin? With anger. With anger. Parents, do not tolerate anger in your home. Our children need to understand that anger is vile, it is sinful, it is wicked. And if it is not brought under control, the flesh will take over, or even beyond that, the evil spirit will take over. Yeah. Anger invites the work of the devil in a person's life. Now, I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen. Am I right or not? It's illustrated for us in the account of Saul and David. And it's very clearly spelled out for us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Saul could have chosen to love David. But because he was governed by this evil spirit, he gave place to the devil in his life because of his anger, because of his displeasure, because of his jealousy. He gave place to the devil, and the devil's ultimate end is to kill and to destroy. And that's exactly what King Saul attempted. Saul is becoming a spiritual wreck. It's affecting his spirit, his soul, his mind, will, emotions, and of course his own body. Please note the downward spiral. Anger leads to displeasure, jealousy, demonic influence, violence. Illustrated for us in the life of Saul. This is reaction. This is reacting immaturely to our difficult situations. Neither Saul nor David created this situation, but Saul chose to respond with immaturity. And brethren, may I submit to you, you can make a choice in your difficulty to respond either with maturity or immaturity. And if we choose to respond with immaturity, mark my words, you could well be on that downward spiral of where you are inviting demonic activity into your life. I'm a pastor, I don't listen to heavy metal rock music. Well, so what? I'm glad you don't. The devil comes as an angel of light. He does. Stop stereotyping the devil. And putting him in this little box as though the devil only works within the rock and roll movement of today. The devil is only active and alive there in the heart of the city, there on William Street at King's Cross. The devil is only active within Hollywood and all that goes along with that. That's stereotyping the devil. See? When you and I choose to have wrong emotional responses, then we are giving place to the devil. Now, as a believer, you cannot be possessed by the devil, but you can certainly give place to the devil. And I have no doubt in my mind, a lot of people that have problems emotionally, mentally, I have no doubt in my mind, after 20 years of, in the ministry and going in and coming out of a lot of these psychiatric places, I have no doubt in my mind that a lot of those people in those places have demonic problems. And I'm prepared to say it after 23 years. Because I've seen it time and time again. And when I've spoken to individuals in these places, you can pretty well stem back everyone that I've spoken to. Everything stems back to a disappointment, a difficulty in their life, and they chose not to respond correctly. And therefore they lost it physically. They lost it emotionally. And they invited demonic activity into their life. I'm not saying always, but I've seen it many, many times. And I'm prepared to say it after 23 years in the ministry. Don't underestimate the power of a wrong response. Don't underestimate the power of the wrong response. When you and I choose to respond sinfully, we are a triune being, are we not? Body, soul, spirit. And if we don't choose to respond with maturity, then we are opening up our life. Beyond the work of the flesh, we are opening up our lives to the work of the devil. Oh, but pastor, it's just anger. But listen to me. Verse 27 follows verse 26, does it not? And we see it illustrated in the life of Saul. But choose to respond with maturity, brethren. Note the contrast to David. How did David act in light of Saul's reactions? Well, in verse number 11, he removed himself from the immediate presence of Saul. That's common sense. I have no doubt in my mind that David had a feeling he wasn't liked. And as he saw that javelin, he was convinced that he wasn't liked. So he used some common sense and he didn't provoke the situation anymore. He just removed himself from the immediate presence of Saul. And when you compare verse number 12, he was still there in the presence of Saul, but he wasn't in the immediate presence of Saul. Otherwise, how do you connect verses 12 and 13? But the main thing I'd like for us to focus upon is there in verse number 14, where it reads, and David behaved himself, how? Wisely in all his ways. In verse number 5, the Bible also teaches he behaved himself wisely. He conducted himself in an appropriate manner. See, all wisdom stems back to God. and to his word. Therefore, we can say that David responded biblically to Saul's reactions. Now, God doesn't spell out the practical steps of David's wise behavior, does it? Now, why is that? Why doesn't God specifically spell out for us exactly in detail how David responded wisely to Saul? But God does spell out how Saul reacted to David very specifically. And may I submit to you this evening, the reason being is that within every situation, there are different applications of walking wisely, are there not? So depending on your difficult situation will determine how you are to act wisely. And that is not set. Of course, there are always general principles. If you find yourself in a difficult situation, there is the general principle, be prepared to forgive. That goes without saying. And that's a lot of the problem with people. They won't forgive. And therefore it affects their whole being. And they invite demonic activity into their life because they just won't let go. Their forgiveness leads to bitterness and they lose their minds. It happens. Yes, it does. But in saying that, depending on your difficult situation, that'll determine the specific principles that you are to follow. So I think that's the reason why we are not told exactly how David responded wisely, but we are simply told that he behaved himself wisely. And note that at the end of verse 14, what does it say? And the Lord was with him. And brethren, a special communion prevailed in David's life as he chose to respond correctly to Saul. And so likewise, the same with us as we choose to respond with spiritual maturity in our difficult situations. Our Lord's nearness will be evident. The Bible teaches us in verse number 15, and Saul, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, this is interesting, he was afraid of him. Which I just don't understand. But that's what the Bible says. Saul was afraid of David as David conducted himself in a wise manner. And note then verse number 16, but all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. So David grew in popularity. The Lord was with him. He behaved himself wisely. And my friend, this evening we need to act biblically and not react when we find ourselves in difficult situations. See, David responded with maturity. Saul was the opposite. Saul's specific sins are spelled out. Demonic activity was evident in his life. So please, brethren, if you find yourself in a difficult situation, and don't we all from time to time? If you're not facing a difficulty right now, it'll come. But may God grant us the grace to respond with maturity. Responding with maturity in difficult situations. Don't allow yourself to be shipwrecked spiritually by choosing to respond carnally to what God has allowed in your life. And let me close with that. I began this sermon by simply saying an unwillingness to respond with maturity in a difficult situation is an unwillingness to accept the difficulty in your life. And God was trying to build David, was he not?
Amen.
Speak to me.
Amen.
Yes, he was. So he was going to build him by allowing him to go through the fire just a little.
Amen.
And God wants to build you. God wants to make you a little bit more Christ-like. So God will often turn up the heat. Though we don't like it, that's how it is. But God knows best. God's calling is God's enabling. May God help us to respond with maturity in our difficulties. Are you going through a difficult time at the moment? Let me encourage you. Don't follow the pattern of Saul. That was a downward spiral, was it not? Sad, sad ending to a man that had so much ability. That man was full of ability, but yet he was shipwrecked because he would not respond in a spiritual matter. And if you're going through difficulties right now, brethren, choose to respond spiritually. Walk wisely, and God will be with you. Let's bow for prayer.